And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, Tim Pachote, Liberty Advisor, is going to hang out with Duggar and I, and then we may, Duggar and I may go along and we'll kind of just yak it, because I don't get to see Duggar enough. And I think Mike Duggar and Tim Pachote have met. Haven't you guys met before, Tim?
I don't think so. I don't recall.
Yeah, I think he's been around. You may not recognize you, but you will. We'll have a visit. So we got you there, Tim.
Hey, guys. You got me here.
Yeah. All right. We need to talk about, not Trump. But the we have, Duggar has a bunch of opinions of. Let's go ahead and get your opinion of how you went to Florida. You've been gone on vacation, kind of hanging. And Sunday we had a group thing. We did like 5 hours and something. You were in for an hour or so because you got bitten by a scorpion. Yeah, he was not digging it. So how you feeling now?
I feel 100% now. But the weird part is I got bit on my side that was sort of like in the same, probably not too far away from my heart. So it basically took the venom like everywhere throughout my body, whereas most people get bit like on the foot or on the hand or something like that and have a real severe localized pain. Whereas the pain stuff, yeah, it was bad. I mean, it wasn't like I could live with it, but it was with the whole eyesight going for, about 7-8 hours. That's what had me concerned.
Yeah. So your body processed it. You're all good now.
Yeah. My wife's, her hand still feels, she got bit too. Cause I didn't want to wake her up. Cause she always gets super mad if she gets woken up. And then, so she got woken up by a scorpion bite. So I don't know. And I asked her, like, how pissed would you have been if I woke you up to tell you I got stung? I would have been really mad. I'm like, see, that's why I didn't do it. And now, got bit by a scorpion. So,
all right, well, I'm glad you're doing better. All right, give me the Liberty Report, man. Where are we at? On economic stuff going on. There's a whole bunch of news over the weekend. What's up?
Well, I mean, not too much has changed since the last time we talked on Sunday, but basically you have a lot of bad news coming out, and the bad news is good news because, I'll say it's in air quotes, because now there's less of a chance. Now there's a good chance the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates, and that's, and every single time the market, does well, then it looks like the Fed's not going to cut anymore, and then the market throws a temper tantrum, and then they get their way. And so what we're seeing now is a complete capitulation from everything that the Federal Reserve said in October, that we were, on autopilot, the rates are going to keep going up and up and up. And now we've seen a complete reversal of that, and the market likes that. And so the market's gone up probably about 5.5% the past, maybe like 8 or 9 trading sessions.
Yeah, I kind of look at it, the Dow, 26,000. It goes down 24, 25, up 20, down 2, 3, 4, 500, up and down. Kind of, that's like normal now, So
for a year and a half.
I'm sorry?
For the past year and a half, it's bounced around 24 to, high 26s.
The Dow doesn't really mean it. What is a metric that you look at that really means something? Now, the Dow, they keep changing the top 30 all the time. Now you look 10 years ago, it's not even the same list. So I'm wondering, what's your metric? What are you looking at?
Well, it depends what the metric, what we're talking about. Are we talking about, is America great again? And then defining what great means. Because when I gave that speech at Anarcho-Zona, I talked about how, the average, like 50, it's like a huge percentage of 55-year-olds only have like maybe like have like, under $100,000 saved. So, I wouldn't call living off $4,000 a year in retirement you know, making America, keeping it, saying that we're good enough to just keep America great. So take a look at things like that. But, you know, it's not, but all these numbers are rigged. So you can have, let's say we got a guy making $100,000 a year. He gets fired from his job, and now he's got two jobs, you know, an Uber driver and a waiter, and now he's making $30,000 combined. Well, now it counts as two jobs to the economy versus one. And so the president gets to parade around these numbers and act like he's doing something great, when in actuality, I would say people are worse off. And then a lot of this entire economic recovery has been predicated on just blowing up the debt. So, I mean, if we would have kept the debt, you know, at a relative level to what Obama was at, I don't even think we would have even had a positive GDP growth. So, you know, I, as a financial planner, you know, if somebody was making $100,000 a year and was, you know, $100,000 in debt, and then the next year they were, you know, they made $103,000 a year, but now they were $150,000 in debt, I would say, you know, that extra, you know, $50,000 in debt, you know, wasn't worth an extra $3,000 a year in income. And that's sort of what we're doing as a country. If you take a look at the actual net worth of the country, the liabilities are growing a lot faster than the assets. But, you know, but all they want to talk about is where the Dow Jones is at. And the Dow Jones is a terrible measure of the economy for, I mean, a multitude of reasons. A, they swap in and out the stocks. I mean, Bank of America used to be in there. They swap it with Goldman Sachs. All the original people, I believe, I think are out of there. I think GE was the last holdover. And it's, I believe they call it a price-weighted index versus a market-weighted index. So the S&P 500 is calculated differently. It's based upon like market share, which is, you know, how you would expect that it would be done. So if so let's say if Apple is 3% of the S&P 500, then its move would be, you know, basically, you know, 3% of the S&P 500, whereas the Dow Jones is price weighted. So if you have one stock that's $200 versus another stock that's $5, and they both go up 1 point, or one, let's say they both go up $1, it counts as $1 for the index, whereas the stock that's only $5, that's a gigantic percentage of, you know, that's 20% increase, whereas a stock that's $200, that's, you know, like a 1% increase. So it's a complete bullshit metric that they use, but it's the headline number. It's what everybody cares about. And so because everybody cares about it, it has a big psychological effect. And it does pretty much move in tandem with the S&P 500 anyways. But it's all just a rigged game. And Powell said he's going to do basically anything at all costs to keep this economic expansion going, i.e. the stock market. And because, you know, nobody wants to, as much as the Federal Reserve doesn't like Trump, nobody wants to be the guy that everything goes down in his watch. So so who knows where things are going.
Are you going to make it to 2020? Everything going to take a dump before the election and they're going to blame Trump or what?
I mean,
I'm surprised he's keeping it as long as he is, you know, with all this. And the trade war stuff and everything, do we care? Is this a big thing? Is it, you know, if you really, this is my opinion. If you wanted to have a big giant impact on the, making America great again, whatever the hell that means, is, you know, defend the rights of the individual. Go down to the individual that you can ship whatever you want to whomever you want, and we're out of the way and peace out, and, you know, don't be mean and we're done. And you unleash the garage businesses on the world and we're going to kick your ass. Because the capital that individuals have to start a little something, a little knowledge and access to YouTube out of their garage is a capacity. There's people, billions of people across the world would, you know, freaking kill to get, you know, $500 together to start a business, do something. And here in America, any and everybody could start something, have an impact on the world. And you're not allowed. You didn't get a permit. You're not unleash America and we'll be fine. But then it's decentralized down to individual and they're no. It's got to be some collective. You get a permit if we allowed. And I'm wondering where Trump is on this. Am I going to get freed someday or no?
I mean, the fact that he's there taking credit for jobs, I mean, I think a true libertarian knows that the president's job isn't to create jobs. It's not the president that creates jobs to begin with. So it's just frustrating seeing, you know, all these, you know, Tea Party people who have now gravitated on to now this is, you know, doesn't matter about the debt, doesn't matter about the deficits, and we're just going to, you know, tariff our way out of this. And I would rather just have tariffs and have no income tax, or maybe have the Federal Reserve just print all the money to pay the taxes anyways, because it's all just a scam. So if you're going to have a bad system, you might as well make sure we don't get screwed as much.
Don't get screwed as much. We'll be right back.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Come on. You need to read pirate book, man. It's all Doogie.
I want to read it. It sounds like very interesting. I mean, it sounds like all libertarian to me, but...
It's hardcore decentralized to suck it. I raise my black banner. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of Doogie in there.
That's some good stuff, you know, and if you want to use the pirate analogy, that works for me too. That's fine.
You know, yeah, pirate! You know, I got a letter, well, it's a donation from a guy that says, a listener in Georgia. And he sent a little bit of cash and silver dimes.
That's nice.
I love the audience send me silver. You guys keep sending me silver because it's just cool. You know, I mean, you know, five, you know, dimes, six dimes, whatever.
So
you're
all on the same wavelength.
Yeah, no, give me a little ferns just, you know, because, but... Silver. Send me silver. Silver, silver, silver. I'm digging it, you know? So this is, you know, you guys are allowed to send me silver. Because are you silvering up? Are you a precious metal guy?
Not at the moment.
I'm Eric has like, God, at least 300-400 of the Freedom's Phoenix silver rounds.
Cool.
He goes, I want up, man. He bought, hell, probably half of them, you know? And so I'm going, hey, man. Can I buy some of those back? I want to, you know, give me a deal. And he goes, yeah, trade me your Philharmonics. No! whatever. So we'll do that. Now, what do you think about precious metals, Tim? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, eventually we're going to be printing more money. And I was making a joke because Josh Sigerson, by coincidence, was like basically on scene, like where that helicopter crash was yesterday in New York City.
Okay, wait. Hold that for this. I want to talk about Josh and all the bannings and everything. And, you know, because, you know, you're never a prophet in your own land. I told these guys, so I want to see what they have to say now. All right, we're coming back. Let's do it.
LRN.FM. That's DLive.LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yakinit. You know, there's, Tim has been putting up videos along with World Alternative Media, Josh Sigerson and John Seven, and you know they're like, "Hey, you know we're we'll work with you. We got some good stuff for you. You know, a platform for you to share and so on." But man, this purging thing is affecting everybody. And I saw a thing. Josh was talking about what happened to Dan Dix. How's it affecting you guys? Anything with Wham? Are they getting ready to get you?
Well, I've seen the, I can see like the income numbers, and they've, you know, what Josh is making has gone like way the hell down. And it seems like even though the subscriber growth recently has slowed down to a halt as well. So, I mean, they're doing everything they can to stifle alternative media. And that's why I've been promoting the text message deal and every video I've been doing lately. And that's why I've been promoting the, so people text in a number and then we get the email and the phone number. Because I haven't really done anything too much with it, but at least I'm trying to build it up because.
Well, I mean, how are you doing on that? Is it, you know, a couple dozen, couple of hundred? I mean, what is it going? What?
I mean, I think I've got like 50 on one of them, and then just from the recent run-up. But yeah, that's a big thing on my list. But yeah, I probably have a few hundred if I start like aggregating all of them from every source. So
yeah, that's, you know, good.
It'll start being a thing. But I've got the text message numbers too, which is, that's a much more difficult way for them to censor.
This week. I mean, phone surveillance and everything, that was the main thing. You know, it was the phone numbers, and now then it's emails, and then it's your website, and then it's any and everything you say in your accounts of, and then, you know, oh, but they wouldn't censor phone numbers or do anything with that. That'd be wrong, right?
Terrible thing to do.
That'd be terrible.
Well, I was looking into that Prisma phone that you, and it looks like they also have like a laptop as well, and so that was intriguing me to maybe explore doing something like that, and maybe even just giving up a phone and just having, you know, like a little hotspot card, maybe just carry around a hotspot card and have, you know, like a iPad or something, or maybe have one of these laptops that just have signal on it or something. And like, hey, if you want to get a hold of me, that's how you can get a hold of me.
It's getting that way.
Yeah,
it's going to get to the point to where this Libra phone is the one that they were talking about. And, you know, through Prism and their whatever, they have the Prism phone, Libra. There's going to be decentralized private hand computers, really what they are, with the ability to hard switch, turn off your GPS, your Bluetooth, your audio, your video, your mic, your yada, yada, yada. And I'm going, okay, yeah, I could see that. Well, then there are a lot of these in there. They're doing their own private social media, their own chat, their own texting, and then voice over internet. So you won't have a phone number. You'll have a phone. You know, it's going to bypass all their stuff, but they're not going to dig that. They're not going to allow you just be free and stuff. But I'm holding out, you know, keep deleting, you know, data and whatever, trying to keep my phone going until I can buy one of these. And they're just like, they're almost kind of early. You might be able to get, are you going to get you a Freedom phone? Is that, you going to segue between the two and start to, you know, morph over if you find something you like? Is that the plan?
Eventually that would be the plan. I mean, I would like to also have like a nice camera as well. So I know that a lot of people, that's probably not like a biggest concern, but since I am doing videos, it's nice to have just, but I will say the GoPro like is freaking awesome. So I've sort of been using that.
Well, which one is it? Is it the 7 or something, or?
Yeah, it's called the Hero 7 Black, and it's just ridiculous. You can go run with it, shake it to hell, and it's like a perfect smooth video.
And I tell you, it is also waterproof. We have met a couple in Hawaii. They let me take it down snorkeling. I'm going down and you don't even have to put it in a case. It just goes underwater.
Yeah, and this is the super suit case, so this can go even deeper in the water. And I also took it. We did a parasailing when I was in Florida, so where they take you up like 400 feet up in the air, and so that was pretty cool. So I had it like strapped on top of my head, but no, it's just ridiculous. Like the quality that you get from it. So maybe, I don't know, who knows, maybe in the future, maybe I'll just like carry around, maybe I'll get like a little man bag thing and carry around one of those, carry around like a little laptop and say screw it to the phone eventually, just cause it's just such a pain in the ass. And,
well, the tech just in the last year, seeing you do a lot of different things, that you got your little AI thing that follows you around and reformats and does, and you don't need a cameraman. I was like, holy crap. You know, I got to wait another year for the GoPro 7 to start doing AI scanning of what? I mean, you know, is there something else coming, or are you satisfied?
I haven't really looked into too much what's coming. I don't know. Maybe it zooms in on all the hot babes or something in a future update with the software. I don't know. So I don't know.
You know, one thing, Doogie, I remember, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, really changed a lot of stuff was the video camera. But we went to Access Television to learn to be able to check out a big VHS, blah, 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 you know. And you were in the video editing and so on back in the day. Now, I remember this. It was the first Freedom Summit that we had in 2001, and it was like weeks after 9/11 when it first happened. And I remember there was a debate. It was that Sunday of the summit. Butler Schaefer came down from the hotel room. We're starting the day, and he goes, it's like the third day of the summit, and he goes, they just started bombing Afghanistan. Remember that? And it was Bumper Hornberger and Vince Aprinowitz did a debate on whether we should go or not or something. And Doogie goes, hey, man, I need, we raised like $300 or $400 from the audience right then to go get a super VHS to be able to put on this internet thing, you know? So we were doing this back in the day. You remember that?
I don't really recall that particular incident, but it would be something we would want
to. It was Doogie, super VHS. Make I remember this distinctly. Your memory sucks. So it was at the first summit, and we got and we transferred that one debate and did on the internet. And this is 2001. So we've been on the leading edge of a lot of this stuff, making it available. And then, of course, the bandwidth keeps going up, and it becomes a threat. So I'm wondering, World Alternative Media, they got a plan? You know, they're going to go to something else? They keep screaming, we've got to make YouTube do it right.
I would like to say that there's a big concerted plan, but so I'm actually planning on calling Josh today and letting him know, like, hey, listen, you have to pimp this email thing every single time. Like, he's not taking the threat seriously enough, but at the same time, he's like, hey, go send an email to, you know, worldalternativemedia@gmail.com. I'm like, dude, you're killing me. Like, you're going to get around. You're going to plan your YouTube, Google censorship route by using their other platform. Like, you're breaking my balls over here. But some of the stuff we've noticing, like, he did a video confronting Bernie Sanders where he got kicked out of the auditorium maybe like a week or two ago, and because Bernie was in Vegas, and so Josh went like walk right up to the front and barged his way up there, and he's like asking him about, you know, his time that he spent in Russia, and so then Josh gets escorted out by all these guys, and it's all on camera, and the video barely got any traction at all. And usually, like, any video like that would have definitely taken off. So you can see, like, where things are going up, 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 and all of a sudden, like, they, like, hit a button, and then, like, the traffic is flatlines, and they make it so it doesn't show up in recommended lists to make sure. They just do a lot of things to jack with people constantly. So, you know, and that's why, you know, having the emails and the phone numbers is a, you know, yeah, they can jack with that too, but at least it's, you know, going low tech is almost the new high tech now.
Right. So, you know, well, they have to go to, we're going to have alternative whatever the hell. And I watched last night Mike Adams from Natural News going on about how their Brighteon is being, you know, censored too. And I knew if you couldn't have a catapult channel on it, they were going to get you the same way, and they have. Yeah, that was one thing I was watching. He did like a guy was like a 50-minute rant.
I've seen links to it, but I haven't watched it yet because he frustrates me a bit. I love the guy, but his rants just really rant.
Yeah, he kind of takes it long and they're bad, and you know. But he the same thing Tim's talking about. They go, yeah, but they're doing it wrong, and they should let us do what we want, and they. And I'm like, why are you, you know, and you, and Doogie is a big, giant Facebook, spend way too freaking much time along with Barry and Tim. I mean, you know, I'm like, seriously, you know, we need to start. But well, I tell you what it was like. Mike Duggar, back in, was 94 or so, he goes to me and Bob, and he says, hey, man, you need to come over to this, AZRKBA. Remember that? Right to keep and bear arms. It was a Second Amendment list that was primarily dominated by a bunch of NRA guys and Republicans.
They need a libertarian infection real bad.
So Doogie is over there kicking ass, and we're just like, and we just wait a little bit, you know, kind of. Then Bob and I came on and explained it to him, and that's where we met Michael Kilsky. Michael Kilsky is a big, hardcore Second Amendment guy. He's now an attorney, big computer geek, and county chairman of the Libertarian Party. He wants to be a judge now. He's working on that. But so a lot of us, we saw firsthand back in the mid-90s of how infiltrating they were getting on this new internet thing. And then when you got libertarian philosophy, just asking the right questions or going in and actually doing stuff, it had a big impact on popular opinion with a lot of people that were there that they were trying to control, and they didn't like it. And I'm telling you, the new internet, whatever it is going to be dominated by libertarian philosophy. They're going to be driven over there in the conservative of whatever, and the man ain't going to dig it. They're going to do everything they can to try and stop it. They saw what happened to the internet to begin with, and it was a, you know, intelligence gathering thing to begin with anyway. I give you 15 gazillion CDs from AOL a la CIA. You know, that we had so many of those, we made mobiles out of them. I mean, they're spinning, you know, keep the birds away from the garden or something. I mean, they were a lot of this. And you kind of missed all that, Tim, man. It was back in the day. We've been through this before, have we not?
You couldn't open a magazine without a freaking AOL disc falling out back then. But, yeah, we've been through it. You know, they don't like what you say. They you know, if they don't know how to shut you up, they'll figure out how to shut you up. You know, unless you get some sort of a vehicle that isn't under their control. And trust me, everything that you see on the internet, all the Google, all the YouTube, they just buy it up. Even if it doesn't start with them, which these things I think did start with them, they just turn around and buy up the competition. That's what, you know, that's the, the Microsoft model. Microsoft didn't invent anything. They just bought the right technologies and combined them.
Okay, I remember this. When we first started getting, when the World Wide Web hit, before it was BBSs, and that was the internet, and that's kind of what this IPFS thing is, you know, we already recognize this. But with the World Wide Web, when it came on, Mike got all kinds of awards for having the top five, you know, great website you built of whatever the hell.
Yeah, we got some magazine.
Yeah, whatever. We got in some books, and, you know, Claire Wolf wrote some books about some of our activities and all this other stuff. And this was in the mid-90s. But when the World Wide Web hit, all of a sudden you could see it change. You know, you're on our system now, you know, and I'm looking forward to not.
In a sense, we were always on their system there because who the hell developed the internet in the first place? It was DARPA.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they just put it up there for whatever ostensible purpose. And then
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, in studio with Mike Duggar, you know, good activist, longtime friend, now retired, and we can put him to work, or at least come and hang out and go to the parties. But and Tim Pachote, you know, a new younger guy in his, he's our age back in the day. He's like
in his early mid-30s
now.
He's going to make some difference.
Yeah, this is going to be good. And he's got exposed to the history of a lot of the stuff that we've done. And that kind of gives you, he doesn't have to go through the 5 years of what the hell is going on until you go, I get it, because they can. You know what I mean?
We can lend a little perspective, that's a good thing.
Okay, I want to show the audience this. Check this out. All right. Sunday, you know, Dr. Frank was in studio with Bob and I, and Tim was on. So we just did the 5-hour marathon of Get Caught Up. And he goes, you got a $20 bill? And I go, maybe. What you gonna do with it? And he goes, give it here. And he did this stamp, because on the $20 bill, it has the White House on the back. And it says, Donald Trump lives here. That is so Frank. He's just like going around stamping 20s, you know? Just to trigger people.
Anything that'll trigger a little.
Well, you know this is going to get out of circulation. They ain't making it through the bank more than once, you know? And, you know, it's just, this is a lot of the street activism is what I really like. You bypass the machine. And the internet has so corralled everybody. But my thing is the data. You know, it's anything that you guys do, they got you, you know, cordoned off in the echo chamber, and you guys will sit there and go ouch-quitted amongst each other. And any meme or anything that starts to break out, they slam it down. They're like, nope, this shall not go viral. So then they don't recommend it on any of the platforms. You don't see it. You don't, even when you search for it, oftentimes you have problems. So I that's not the way to go. And I want to demonstrate that in the 2020 campaign. I'm going, you want to have an impact. We can do it locally. We can do it Arizona or Phoenix or whatever. We'll just, you know, start hammering on things here to make them the subjects so that people are always asking that question. That's what they, them, those don't want, is you even bringing a lot of this stuff up. So from your perspective, Tim, what's some of the things that they definitely don't want brought up?
Well, it seems like lately, I mean, now they don't want anything about 9/11 to be brought up. They don't want anything about, you know, vaccines to be brought up. It seems like those are two of the bigger ones. You know, obviously you can't bring up, you know, anything to do with the Sandy Hook or Parkland shooting. Or I mean, there's so many. I mean, every day the list of
Christchurch.
Yeah, every day the list of stuff you're not allowed to be. I mean, I guess now you can't even say the word honk, apparently, on Facebook.
Yeah, what was that about? I saw that. I don't know. What are they even talking about?
That's the extent.
Oh, honk if or well, something, or honky, you know, or what?
No, it's these you know.
Oh my God, Mike Duggar knows
these alt-right autists you know, they're just young guys with kind of a sense of humor. In fact, a very good sense of humor to a point. And this was kind of their response to the whole censorship thing, you know, and the whole social justice warrior. Whenever you would see that, they would just have this. It's more than just the honk. It's the little graphic of the guy with the rainbow flag hat thing on, and you know, it was just you just post that whenever you'd see the nonsense pop up. You would just, your response was honk, or the little honk graphic. Or
so
whatever.
It's kind of like Pepe the Frog or some crap?
It's very similar to Pepe the Frog. It's just here's a whole new little meme graphic, you know, thing that just says, hey, it was kind of like, we're calling bullshit. Honk.
Okay. How much attention were you paying to the NPC thing, non-player character?
I was aware of it, and I thought it was humorous. And in fact, some of my favorite memes are the ones where they'll show the four panel thing where the look on the face changes on the little NPC meme, which is pretty good too. Just the expression changes on the face according to what whoever they're speaking with says a certain thing, and also they ends with this angry, confused kind of look.
So NPC. NPC.
I'm kind of a meme aficionado, I guess.
Well, I love that one. I mean, not so much that I gave a crap, what it was just how much it freaked out the left. We're not NPC players reading from the 3x5 card, 3x5 card, 3x5 card. I mean, you know, I'm just like, no, wow.
I like to turn it around and put a MAGA hat on it. Same difference.
Ooh. Well, Tim, tell Mike real quick in 30 seconds what you did right before the 2016 election, how you came to fame there.
Basically, right before the 2016 election, I got really mad at the Libertarian Party, especially Bill Weld, when he started. The final straw for me is when he said that handguns are more dangerous than AR-15s and we need to regulate handguns. And now I was like, all right, that's it. So I went all in trying to convince Libertarians to vote for Donald Trump, and basically went from, you know, as of September, I remember September 11th, I only had like 50 people following me. By the election, I had 32,000 people following me, had tons of hardcore memes, go super, super viral, had one meme called Fake News List. That's just what it was called, with about 30 different news publications on there, well, supposed news publications on there. And I listed one person by name. That one person was Paul Krugman. A year and a half later, Paul Krugman won Trump's award for being most fake news. And essentially I had the first person that to appropriate that term from the left and say that you guys are
Tim
fake
Pachoke
news.
Made up fake news. It was all Tim.
So, that's cool. That's yeah. Because
and then the very next day, so the day I did that, I had 1,200 new subscribers. The very next day went down to zero and have been flatlined and actually been net negative ever since then.
Once you hit their radar screen and you're done.
Didn't take very long. So I mean, and then the first time I got suspended off that page, you know, it took like 2.5 weeks. So I mean, I did a pretty, you know. So obviously, I'm over the target. They've banned my ability to pay them to boost ads. They've messed with me on numerous occasions. But
if you put half the effort you did into all this social media blah 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 into something else, you know, you'd be, you know, planting a flag on the new horizon of over here. And I'm just trying to find, you know, the over here. There's a lot of little stuff. I mean, the IPFS thing is just so that we have the data that can never go away and you can reference it. But you still need to have, you know, some way to communicate. And I'm wondering what the way that's going to be. I don't think it's going to be phone number or email anymore. It's going to be freedom. There's an app for that. And that app is going to have to run on a privacy, you know, none of the business, not an operating system of their choosing. And when that comes, we're going to have a big, you know, shift. Do you think it'll happen before 2020 election cycle? Or
I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, we have to get through that, and maybe by 2024, you know, and you can't say for certain, you know, some technology pops up and people run with it. That's what happened with the whole internet. It took a while, but it happened. I think the adoption comes a little quicker nowadays.
Well, we knew. I mean, I remember in 1995, after the 94 election cycle, we had the campaign for city council. And I remember I was campaign chairman for all of them and the county chair and so on. Gary Fallon was running for mayor, and then we had four candidates. One was Bob running for city council, and it just freaked them out. And we had this really great web presence in 95. The front page of the newspaper says, first cyber candidates, blah, 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 blah. And he got awards for actually having issues. You go on and you look, yeah, this is what I think about. And all the other guys were just, if anybody even had a web page, it wasn't until 2002 that, you know, all the other campaigns, R's and D's, actually had a web presence. And they would never have anything other than blah, 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 and a link to Rush Limbaugh or something. But
kissing a picture, you know, kissing babies and shaking hands.
Stupid stuff. Yeah, it's just traditional crap. Well, the libertarians are like, yeah, you want to know what's up? Let me tell you what's up. You know, so it's from that moment on, we understood the power of alternative. Well, it's especially in 08 with the Ron Paul revolution, and then in 12 again, and then in 16 with the Trump thing, you know, we got to get a hold of this internet thing. And all alternative, there is no alternative, because all of the media outlets now have lost eyeballs and ears. We just had a report, I led with it yesterday on the site, that the Tony Awards has had the lowest ever, you know, viewings. You know, all these places where they went SJW on everybody, nobody's watching anymore. They're losing the eyeballs and ears. Then what? I don't know. There needs to be a then what. We're working on it. We're trying to create our own then what. You know, then there's a bunch of other then whats, and set a standard. Pirates. That's why we're doing it. You watch what happens. Duggar and I have been doing this for decades, and I'm telling you, it's just about general public opinion, which we be working on.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.
All right, in the last segment, you know, live here, what do you want to make sure we get in there, Tim? Another commercial.
I don't know. I guess we got the stock market's only 2% away from the all-time high, I just noticed right now, so it's kind of crazy. But oh well. We could talk. I did want to mention that helicopter crash yesterday. That it actually by coincidence, Josh like was like right there, and the building it crashed into was actually the AXA building of all buildings.
Okay, now we'll tell who AXA is. AXA.
And I wanted to make a joke. I'm like, too bad it wasn't a helicopter Ben Bernanke. And they're like, oh no, we've got too much. This quantitative easing money drop is too much. And like all the Federal Reserve notes, just the jet fuel just caught it on fire real quick.
All right, yeah, we'll talk about that. Rhea and Tim were back there when that happened. You know, they just got back from New York last night, so they had a good trip, and we had the grandkids and everything, so that worked out well. Frank, of course, was on Sunday. He was late. He's always late. Can't not be late. And he goes, you're not allowed to give me crap or I'll charge it. And I go, all right. Well, why were you late? Sick baby.
Tim.
Sick baby. And Tim. Everybody's sick. You know, but we worked it out anyway. We'll be back in 2.5 minutes. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, I know why. Banned on Facebook, probably. This. He played music! He's not allowed!
That'll do it.
I know, and I'm not willing to... Screw him, man. You know, that's one thing, Doogie was saying that the show would, we simulcast live on YouTube and DLive and this and that and everything, and Facebook. You know, a lot of people that get, subscribe. We got thousands of people subscribed to us. I don't even know. I don't even go look. They say, Ernie, I Facebooked you. I go, that was your first problem because, you know, I don't look. But you would be able to watch, the stream on Facebook for this. Does that show up anymore?
Nope.
It used
to pop up every morning.
I don't know. Did you know if it pop up? Are we on Facebook, Tim? Have you checked?
I'll check right now. I know I didn't get any notifications. I know I get notifications for Twitch and DLive when you show up.
Yeah, well, Twitch and DLive, but you know, in fate, we did everything because I'm like shocked I lasted as long as we did. There's not even links to the Facebook on our thing here, but I don't care.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't even see Facebook even showing up on your own page. So who knows?
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's, you know, it's same. You know, I we're here to say, yeah, we're over there, and they go, you're not allowed to say that.
Well, that's the thing, you know. If you were an unapproved thing and somebody even mentioned you in their feed, they would ban them. It's like, are you kidding me?
No, this is awesome. I mean, they are not holding. It's not
no,
a pretend
they're
anymore.
They're not pretending. They're not denying. They're just right out in the open about it.
Well, then what do they want? They want to be regulate us so we can be protected from damn. Because the way it works for websites is if it's just a platform and you don't do any editorial or banning this or that or so on, you're good. You're protected. You kind of, hey man, I'm just a platform. I know nothing about birthing no babies. So what happens then is then they start to complain. I can't believe you have this gap. But once you start doing that, then you're like held to liability. So now they want the government to, you know, give them some guidelines and approve speech that they're not held to any liability, but they can also do the man's bidding and ban people. And that's a really touchy guy. I don't care. And next, we're over here because we've already gone through this before going to alternative media. And then they take that over and we'll go to the alternative sucker.
You and know? I believe Donald Trump actually strengthened those laws. I forgot what they're called, like Section 302 or something like that. He actually strengthened the ability of those companies to avoid legal prosecution for doing this sort of stuff, which is sort of strange. And one thing I'm looking at right now on CCN, it's like Crypto Coins Network. They've got a article right now saying CCN is shutting down after Google's June 2019 core update. And I don't know if they actually are shutting down, but I mean, that's what it says in their own website. But
CCN, what's that?
It's a crypto news aggregator type site. Right. But anyways, it shows that their traffic is, their sales are down like 90%, or their revenue or their traffic is down 50% for like after some algorithm update. And basically now they can't afford to stay.
You
on
know,
the air.
Ours has not, it probably went up about 20-25%. You know, and it was kind of low. I mean, you could tell they're suppressing and so on. I didn't care. I'm just like, I know where this goes. And what happened was when all this banning stuff and everything, boom, we start going up, 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 bam, up, 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 bam, up, up, up. And it's just because we go a different way. So we continue to expand at a slow rate. They keep, you know, hammering. But, you know, where else are they going to go? You want to get the information or not? You go directly to our site. We're not, and this is the one thing that Josh over at Wham, the biggest criticism I have is that I don't even think they even have a web page. It's all YouTube, right?
He does. It's a very rudimentary site that basically there's no way to, there's nothing monetized on there. It's all links back to YouTube. You know, I went to a conference a few years ago where they like taught different ways to monetize and saw guys who were killing it. And with the amount of reach and the amount of eyeballs, minutes, and attention that he garners, I mean, he should be he shouldn't have to even worry about money or worry about YouTube. But he sort of boxed himself into this corner. And now that, you know, the funds aren't there to then build these other platforms, you know, it's sort of like a catch 22. So what I'm doing right now is, I mean, I'm taking action. Yesterday I was on the phone with a girl from Fiverr, that's a site where you can find people pretty cheaply to do stuff for you. So I found this girl that's been in Bitcoin since 2012, and she's going to do some sales copy for my website and get all my pages stripped up. And then I found a different website guy that he's going to then take her text and then kind of make it all go to action. And I found some girl from Nigeria who's going to be uploading all my stuff to BitChute and to YouTube and hopefully to IPFS
I have this conversation. We're gonna share, help out, or tell me something about what?
These conversations happened yesterday, so it's not like I've been, you know, sitting on all
this. You waited
a
whole 24 hours to tell me?
Well, I need to wait to make sure it works, but it's just amazing that I found somebody that was in the Bitcoin space and it was relatively cheap. And actually, a lot of people didn't want to work with me because that I was wearing libertarianism on my sleeve. A lot of people were like, Yeah, thanks. No, thanks. Even some people that are pretty freaking expensive that I wanted to go like get like high quality people doing this stuff, and they're like, no, sorry, that's I'm not the person for this. Like, I don't want your money type thing. Several people. So it's not even it's not even as easy. And I also saw that I just put out an internship as well, search, and so I got some good results. I just got back yesterday.
Well, let me know, man. I need help. There's so much stuff. I'm willing to pay a little something, get the right person or something. And if you come through them, we'll do that. You know, before the end of the show, this helicopter crash, my daughter and son-in-law were in New York when that happened. And they're going, yeah, man, this helicopter. And you don't hear anything about it other than I think the pilot died and nobody else or whatever.
No, so one person died.
So what was the buzz on this that you noticed there, Tim?
Well, I just noticed that it happened to hit the AXA building. That's AXA. It's one of the largest. It's a French insurance company, one of the largest insurance companies in the world, possibly the largest. But the big thing that your listeners might know them from is that their former longtime chairman, Henry de Castries, has been a multiple time head of the Bilderberg Steering Committee. And AXA is also responsible for, I believe, contributing $70 million to Blockstream, which are the people behind basically Bitcoin Core and are the ones who are pushing the Lightning Network, who are also the one. So, I mean, you've got, I don't think there's any, I don't think that the plane crashed because anything to do with AXA. I just thought,
I never know. It's just karma.
If you're going to pick a building to crash into, I guess, that one or JP Morgan.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure Duggar knows this. Okay. When Bitcoin first started, my biggest thing is where is the chink in the armor? Where it's always human. It's always something. Yeah, your math is all great, but who makes the changes in the code? Who does that? Well, finally, they had a thing called Blockstream that, we'll do it, and we'll pay our guys, and we'll, do it, and we'll make mess it up, and whatever, then GoldmanSucks.gov coin. Okay, here it comes. Well, then you had Bitcoin Cash and all these others kind of break away from that and be more autonomous and freedom-oriented and so on. Well, who are these Blockstream guys? Well, the chairman of Bilderberger, 17 in this last year, is a guy named Henry de Castries that owns this AXA French insurance company that were $70 million to Blockstream. I mean, Bilderberger, Bitcoin, how much further do I got to scratch the surface here? You know what I mean?
So what a coincidence.
Yeah, quinky dink. And then they get bombed by helicopters, so it's just, karma.
A little weird there. I mean, it's not like helicopters go running into buildings daily.
I was thinking maybe it was like helicopter, I call him Osama Ben Bernanke, who maybe he's like, oh, for this latest QE drop, we just have way too much QE. The plan's that's going down. Standard force.
Yeah, all those dollar bills crashed in the AXA, which is kind of apropos. I feel some memes coming, You got to give me a meme.
Yeah, I'm too busy for the memes, but yeah.
Well, what are you busy with? You're getting all your back. It's great that you're working with Wham, because they're a perfect example of, because Josh was here right before Christmas, and he was very excited because he got his first 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. He thought he's set for life. He's good. Yeah, man, we're rocking. I go, that's when they get you, man. I'm telling you, you're going to have to get these set. Yeah, you old fogies, you don't know what's up. Boom! And I'm like, well, I guess I know a little bit what's up. So how are you going to pull them out of this?
Well, luckily my revenue keeps going up and up and up, and so I'm pouring literally everything I have back into the business, building the websites, getting the ads, getting the click funnels, doing the everything. I'm going to be sponsoring actually Free Talk Live. I talked with their one of their marketing guys yesterday. So I mean, I want to sponsor some other people in this space. But I mean, I'm basically pouring everything I have back into growing my own business, trying to get other people underneath me. So an investment into me is an investment into the greater Liberty community. With the stock market at near all-time highs, now is the time you want to think about this stuff. To give a quick
webpage, give it out real quick.
TheLibertyAdvisor.com. You can find all the information.
TheLibertyAdvisor.com.
Would you like to hang?
All right, give out your text number.
All right, you guys can text. The number you're going to put in the two field is 71441. The message is Liberty Advisor, just Liberty Advisor, one word, no spaces. And then that will get you on. Also, it'll be entered into an ongoing raffle. So at the end of this month, raffling off $100 of Bitcoin Cash, along with 10,000 pre-search tokens. So it's about, you know, $200. Only 50 people are signed up right now, so you got a really good chance of winning. And then if you don't win this time, then you'll maybe win next time. So
yeah, all of this stuff, when I get back, you know, from our trips, we need to implement a lot of this stuff over here.
Oh, what are you going to be around, like, the week of the 24th or 25th, by any chance?
Of what?
At the end of this month?
No.
June? Okay, because the guy who owns the company for doing all that stuff is randomly going to be in Scottsdale, and I talked with him yesterday. And
see, I didn't, you know, this is what happens. Any search engine optimization people, social media guys, they're all, you need to pay us $1 gazillion to get you updated on all these platforms and Facebook and Farcebook and whatever. And then you're going to need us to change after they change and redid your stuff and shadow banned you, and we'll do it again. And I'm going, no. I'm tired of running around trying to, you know, dodge these guys all the time. I'm just not doing it. So when they're ready to start the promotion on the decentralized next or something else of over, those are the guys I want to talk to. And what they did is everybody's always contacting us, wanting us to help them with some campaign of made you look. And I can do that and make them look at my stuff, but I want to make sure this stuff is able to be looked at. So I'm, you know, like QR codes, man. If we'd had QR codes back in the day, we'd had us some fun. You know, that's another thing. Because Doogie and I remember the biggest thing that we had were signs. You know, had a web page and sign. We bypassed the whole thing. And the man don't like that. They're like, oh, hell no.
Now you slap a URL on a sign. That's, you know, old school.
Yeah, but we don't need to anymore. We put URLs on there, but the QR codes send you a blip. And they're on in traffic of, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is so, and now everybody has a computer in their hands where before they had to remember or write down or see it or go home and kind of, you know, it's a totally different landscape now. And I don't think it's being used to its full potential. We saw a lot of it during the Levolution, but everybody just got sucked over the Facebook. And they go, oh, Facebook. And they made it work. They mapped out all your pirate network. They mapped out all your contacts. They, you know, this guy said good things, and so he's banned too. You know, it's just amazing. And it started with, of course, you can see it coming. You know, it was Alex Jones. And once they did him, and there wasn't a revolution in the street, they, all right, and we do everybody. So I don't know. I don't care.
I was on like a 4-month like podcast hiatus at that point, like just getting the business going last year. And I came back from retirement to basically bitch about him being kicked off, and then kicked myself off Facebook for a month So basically, my relaunch back into podcasting was him getting kicked off, because that pissed me off so much of just knowing that you either hang together or hang separate. And I had since then even basically stopped listening to him. But if they can do it to him, it's him, then it's somebody else that's a little bit less extreme, like a Steven Crowder, and then it's, you know, Dan Dix, and then it's Ford Fisher, and then it's going to be Josh and myself. And actually, just as a quick aside, I'm looking at the Bilderberg Steering Committee website, and there's only been, I think, a quick glance here, like 7 steering committee heads in all of Bilderberg's history going back to 54. So, and it actually shows to Castries, it says I'm here, he's been since May 2012 to present on this website.
Wow.
So, and then before him was Etienne Davignon, who was the guy who basically bragged about that it was the Bilderberg is where the EU came, or yeah, the European Union came out.
Yeah, of course it is.
So lots of craziness going on in the world. And So I did talk with LRN FM, and I'm going to be sponsoring Free Talk Live, and I'm thinking of running some of those. So I'm going to have, I think, Mark.
Well, then, have you done the ads? Have you given text? Have you? Because we're waiting on you to cut it. Are you going to do it or what?
Yeah. So after we get, they just sent me the PayPal link. So I gotta pay them, and then we'll get it going. And then I told them that we'll be waiting on you. So I don't really know Mark Edge. So I know Ian, and I know obviously yourself.
Yeah, no, Mark's the guy, you know, he's the advertising guy to take care of you. Are you going to burn it yourself? Have them read it? Do here? You got your studio? What are you going to do?
They were going to do it, but I probably wanted some of maybe your insight on what the ad should say. Cause there's, you know, a few different angles I could play it.
You going to do 30s, 60s, both?
It's going to start with 30.
Okay. Yeah, you know, said, so, you know, now's the time, because, you know, here it goes. You know, we're going to have the yeah, whatever the hell is going to happen. What flavor do you think this next correction is? There going to be a correction, or are they just going to keep printing money until we're Zimbabwe? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, I think that the game plan is that the market can't go down. The tolerance for the market going down is roughly 20%, and that's the point where the Fed cried uncle at this last go around from October to December. And I think they're going to print the heck out of the dollar, and eventually that's going to cause the stock market to absolutely soar. But you've only have maybe 10% of Americans have an appreciable amount of money in the stock market, and the other 90% are going to say, you know, how come, you know, we need to fight for $15, and $15 won't be enough. We got to fight for 20. And so they're always going to attack the symptom instead of the actual cause. And it's going to create
universal basic income.
Yeah. So we'll have to vote for Andrew Yang to get our universal basic income, but oh, he likes Bitcoin. So, you know, a lot of people in the Bitcoin community are glomming onto him because
so who's Yang? He's one of the Democrats or something?
Yeah, some one of the other 19 guys that, you know, polling at 1% right now.
Wow.
I think there was a ton of people. There was like maybe like 10 people polling, you know, around 0%. And it's all like the opinion leaders of, you know, all the mainstream media then, you know, foist Joe Biden upon us. And
they're nailing Bernie Sanders again, not being shy about it this time. You know, so I'm wondering, is he going to get screwed again like he did with the Hillary thing?
I mean, if I was one of his supporters, I would have just written this guy off. I mean, how badly he took it last time. I mean, no Vaseline, just completely just took this. And I can't even.
He got a house, just, though.
Yeah, or three
nice,
of them.
Nice car, too.
No, I mean, they gave him some kind of payoff of a bunch, and I bought a house. They go, hey, you bought it? He goes, yes, I did. You know, what do you do about it?
And people ask him, like, if you want to raise the taxes, why don't you go send back, you know, why don't you go pay 50% in taxes? You made $1 million last year, Bernie. He's like, well, it's like, well, I wrote a book. Well, at least, you know, if he's up there long enough, at least maybe Larry David can do some more skits. That's the co-creator of Seinfeld, who did some amazing SNL skits as Bernie Sanders.
Like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually one of the – I watched little TV, but I have watched every single Curb Your Enthusiasm. Was like one of the shows I watched back in the day.
So. Yeah, I've seen a couple. I just never really got into it, you know. But there's – I heard from Alec Baldwin. I saw the thing. He says he's not going to do Trump anymore until they pay him for the movie. Trump, the movie. Starring Alec Baldwin.
Funny, I graduated with his nephew and niece, and they've both since defriended me off Facebook for back in, you know, I think around like the, you know, because I was all the Hillary bashing and Obama bashing from before. So yeah, interesting enough, I used to go to church with Alec Baldwin's mom. Went to my church back in the day for whatever reason.
You know, to hear the Baldwin boys' stories. Scared the crap out of me. These brothers, man, they were merciless to each other. I got scared even listening. I'm like, damn. You know, I was like, one of the brothers, you can't tie me up, I can't get away. You know, I think it was Steven was telling David Letterman this. And what Alec and his brothers did or something, and the guy that in Firefly is one of the brothers too, Baldwin, what's his name? And what they had done is So they put him down, they rolled him in a blanket, rolled him in another a piece of carpet, put him in the bathtub, and then turned on the water. And then when they came in, I can't bet, and they put two straws in his mouth and walked out. I go, man, I don't want brothers like that. Screw that. He goes, yeah, that's just one of the stories I can tell on TV. I'm like, oh, my God, you know. So these guys, you know, they're brain damaged from each other. But I always liked Alec Baldwin movies. I didn't have a problem with him as an actor, but all these guys just shut up and act, saying what I don't want to listen to your crap. And who's going to be the freedom guys that come out advocating for freedom? That's a celebrity. Well, it used to be Kurt Russell and
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood and Magnum PI. What the hell's his name? Tom Selleck. You know, and these guys were kind of, you know, libertarian-esque, you know, Penn and Teller, all this kind of stuff. But whenever that happened, like, you know, Doogie and I be in the party, the first thing they do is leadership, Libertarian Party, you know, do the vampire squid wraparound on them. Oh, you got to help and do it. I'm like, whoa, man, don't ever tell anybody you're a libertarian. It'll descend on you. Drew Carey, you know, this happened and so on. But then they went – you know, there's two different types. There's the activist hardcore libertarians, and then there's the Reason Magazine coctopus of, you know, we got, you know, Cato special libertarian kind of for the system thing. And those has always been at battle with each other. So in the 2020 election cycle coming up, is you're just going to be pushing solution, Tim, or are you going to get active, or you all memed up, or are you going to out yourself? How you plan on taking advantage of the 2020 cycle?
I mean, I don't really see myself getting nearly as invested as, you know, Ron Paul 2012 or Donald Trump 2016, that basically trying to expose the system, telling people. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean,
he's in his mid-30s now. He's where we were. I mean, we all go through this, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was such a wake-up call in 2011, you know, being pretty active in the Ron Paul Revolution. And it's funny because I even, like, went over to your house several times, but I never, like, really introduced myself, even though I was at your house a bunch of times. But it's just seeing, you know, all the shenanigans that went on in 2012, because people think, like, oh, we need to get active in the system. Well, you know, I went to a lot of the stuff that was going on and went and saw where Ron Paul would have 500 people there and all the other candidates would have, like, 50 people there, and somehow Ron Paul would still lose the vote, or, you know, the stuff that they would do on mainstream media, or people, you know, fingers get broken at certain things, or they count the votes in different areas, or they bust people around in the, you know, Tampa, you know, parking lot, and they changed the rules, which later came back to, you know, bite the establishment in the ass, you know, a few years later with the Ron, because of the Ron Paul rule, they couldn't sneak in Jeb Bush. So all this stuff really just lit a fire underneath me of somebody that thought the system was pretty corrupt. And then you find out about, you know, the Federal Reserve, and you find out about, which actually is the Federal Reserve that then brought me to Ron Paul. It wasn't the other way around. And then you get into Trump and you see how the system, you know, completely does everything to out themselves. Not that Trump is doing everything great, but he is definitely outed the system as showing the lengths that they will go. I mean, I saw an article recently where now, you know, it was the Mueller was using GPS location to then track suspects in the
Renz Priebus. You know, after the transition, you pick a chief of staff, they're following around Renz Priebus.
And even somebody even bigger than that, they were also doing it to I forgot the guy's name, Eric, the guy, the founder of Blackwater. So I mean, if you are tapping the founder of Blackwater, Eric Prince. Prince. I mean, who is off limits if you can tap the president, Renz Priebus, and the founder of Blackwater? I mean, that's probably like the last person you want to go after is like the founder of Blackwater.
I do got to give props to Trump for just letting this play out. You know, he could have done a bunch of stuff, which is what they wanted him to do. They were trying to get him to do the, you know, mess it with the investigation, lying, obfuscating Nixon thing. And he's like, nope, just let it go through. We'll see how this works out. And do you think his campaign is going to be, you think I was a butthead the first term? Yeah, give me another one. I'll be a lame duck kickass. You know, is that going to be the spiel they sell?
I believe it's the 3 months leading up to the election. If the stock market is positive, the incumbent has an 86% chance of winning. So all of this depends on what the stock market looks like the 3 months before the election. And I think that will dictate where my response will be in terms of how things will shake out and what the messaging will be. Or maybe Trump will try to get ahead of it and say, hey, you know, it's showing that Democrats are pulling ahead and now the market drops because that'll be terrible news and the market will go down 50%. And so it'll be very interesting, but I think there's a lot of things people aren't taking into account. One is several states have changed their voting to going with the popular vote no matter what. I think Colorado is one of them. I think that will then change the game. I think there's a lot of, obviously, you know, hijacking that can go on, whether it's a, you know, through the fractal magic, whether it's dead people voting, whether it's stuffing the ballot boxes, whether it's, you know, the Department of Homeland Security hacking into stuff, or any number of other ways that they can, you know, game the system. I don't think a lot of people didn't have a lot of incentive to game the system in 2016, because if you have a 98% chance of winning, why are you going to, you know, potentially, you know, have your ass go to jail for several years or get felonies for hijacking an election that you think there's, you know, basically no chance in hell you're going to lose? You also had a lot of probably millennials, you know, smoking weed in the Ron's basement who aren't going to go vote for Hillary because, you know, they thought she was a lock-in, she was a shoe-in. And so you can bet your butt that every single person out there is going to be out there. And also, Hillary was such a polarizing figure that you have a guy like myself who just hate, and probably a lot of your audience listening right now, actually hate Hillary with such a passion. Same thing with Jeb Bush, that there's very few people that can get people to go vote against somebody like Hillary Clinton. And maybe that other person is Donald Trump. So if you've got one super, super hated guy in Donald Trump, and you've got Joe Biden where, yeah, I don't like him, and yeah, there's tons of corruption with Ukrainian stuff, and I mean, I can, the list goes on and on and on with him, but he's not nearly as hated as Hillary Clinton. And so I don't think it's going to be nearly the shoe-in that people suspect. And I was, even though I didn't know Dr. Frank at the time, I was early on thinking Donald Trump had a very good shot at winning, got ridiculed for that. And now I'm getting ridiculed for thinking that, you know, there is a good chance he could lose. But either way, it doesn't matter. Either way, we lose. Either way, the debt keeps going up. Either way, we're still going to be in these wars. Either way, you know.
No matter who you vote for, the government always wins. That's kind of been our mantra. Hey, anything else before you go?
No, I gotta do some work over here, but thanks for having me on.
You get all this stuff set up and ready. You hooked us up with whatever, and so I'm like, man, you know, we can crowdsource and fund and part of and work for and do and find, but I'm not willing to, you know, put any effort or money into search engine optimization for social media, Facebook, if I don't give a crap.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing any of that stuff. So the only search ops and optimization I want to do now is, like, if someone types in, you know, hey, I want Bitcoin in my IRA, or I made a lot of money in Bitcoin, and what do I do now? I want to be like that guy that basically pops up and has ways to say, hey, you know, you can do these trust strategies. So I want to focus on the early adopters as one kind of funnel, another one being, you know, the people that want crypto in their IRA, and then another one being kind of like a broader, you know, libertarian community of, hey, there's at least one of us out here who doesn't completely have their head up their ass and actually, you know, somewhat knows what's going on. So yeah. I just want to get the marketing out there, because it's, you know, if it's only your audience that knows about it, you know, that's great. But, you know, I'd rather, you know, push things out there. So I think, you know, sponsoring, you know, LRN FM and being on World Alternative Media and everything I'm doing with you is certainly going to be, you know, a big help. But, you know, I need to get other people underneath me. I need to, you know, expand out. But we're rapidly.
So you got some checks, have you? You got some resources? You ready to spend money?
Yeah, I mean, the big check that I did get recently, you know, all of it's being invested back into the business. And so I'm not out here buying fancy things, or, you know, yeah, I'd like to buy a mountain bike. I'd like to buy precious metals and other stuff and Bitcoin. But
did you get your big guys through the show? Did you? Huh? Did you? Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
So there's Beast. So thank you. Yeah, so thank you out there for the people that are listening. And there's some other ones too who, you know, when Bitcoin gets above a certain threshold, we're looking at, you know, kind of doing a reverse dollar cost average where, you know, we sell, because, you know, there's people, there's listeners out there of yours who bought Bitcoin, you know, in double digits. Yeah. You know.
Well, this is what I want to do. Our database has not been utilized enough, and it wasn't meant to be. I just, you know, look, when things get, I'll go to Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, you know how much babysitting you need. And we haven't marketed it. We haven't sent. We haven't really, you know, promoted or pushed her. But I'll say, yeah, send me money. You know, go to join us at the top, and it'll have, and the bottom has my home address, and send me some silver and show you some love, and, you know, we're all over it. But we need to structure that a little bit more. And I've been trying to work out with Derek. He's so busy doing other stuff and get ready for Fork Fest and Pork Fest. By the end of the summer, once we find where our niche is going to be in the decentralized Suckit, we're going to start pushing that a lot. And that was always the plan. A lot of people that listen to the show know what I said. Look, man, we need to just, you know, find, you know, a place to plant the flag out on the horizon over here. You know, we're over here. We're the number one SOBs with the information without, you know, being censored, and they can manipulate it and they can suck it. And we're over here. Well, when I find that over here, well, the IPFS thing is, you know, sometimes it works really good and sometimes it doesn't. So we're in developing that, and there's other things that we can do, and certainly our own web pages that we have mirrored out of the country and primary Canada, the, you know, yada, yada, yada. But that doesn't mean anything. This is a global thing. Five Eyes definitely includes Canada and just about everybody else. So I'm just going, how are we going to do this? It gets down to, like, you know, maybe there should be a newspaper. I don't know. We were growing and zooming on that. And then, oh, this is what happened. We started doing the newspaper, and people were writing off the newspaper ads as advertising, and we had other libertarians that were trying to, you know, subvert our influence, was calling the IRS, libertarians, calling the IRS, saying, they're a political kind and they're writing off and both, they went, you know what, we don't need to be advertising there anymore.
No, no, exactly. They just typical political crap of attack their income stream.
Yeah, no, we've been through this many times before, but you have to be
Mike has been doing this since before I was even alive. I heard earlier, I turned in for a tiny bit and heard he was doing this since 1984. I wasn't even born until 86.
Oh, my God. So, you know,
that's pretty crazy.
We're gray, man. We're gray.
You know, we were pioneers at the time, you know, as far as libertarianism went, but not quite like David Berglund or anybody, but, you know. We were rare as hen's teeth back then.
Well, we had a lot of impact. Where the Wall Street Journal comes out in the 90s saying Arizona, the libertarian state. Well, a lot of guys that, you know, hey, we're libertarian. What about us? Well, they had to actually do something. And this has been my thing with the Libertarian Party National. I just keep hammering on them. If you'd be libertarian, you'd have a big giant flood of people and quit worrying about this ex-congressman or some crap. Now it's going to be Justin Amash. You've been hearing about this?
Yeah,
I've heard a lot about him. Yeah, he doesn't toe the party line.
Okay, this is what's going on. Justin Amash may run as a libertarian. He's going to register libertarian while in Congress, and then he's the coctopus, you know, choice for libertarian. I'm going to be libertarian, run libertarian. Then you had Bumper Hornberger was on the show just a week and a half ago or so. I think he's going to the state conventions. I think he's going to run for the nomination.
If he's going to the state conventions, he's going to run for the nomination.
I know. And Bumper is going to be the guy because he's kind of a Ron Paul, you know, Constitution, pro-life, Catholic, you know, kind of, you know, give it the...
Long, long history with the Libertarian Party.
So Bumper's like, oh, yeah, I want to see that one. He goes up against Amash and goes, let me tell you what a real libertarian says about this, about that. So that would be interesting. Then you have Adam Kokesh doing, I'm running for not president of whatever the hell he's doing. And I love Bill Weld, so I don't know what the hell that's going to happen. That's wow. And then taxation is theft guy Berman, I think. You know, he wears a big hat, taxation is theft, and he's, you know, been on the show, so he'll be
Vermin
running.
Vermin Supreme, yeah, love him.
And Vermin Supreme.
The Verminator.
Yeah, Verminator, he's going to be doing. So it's going to be interesting, but I think the top contenders that was going to really give the heart and soul and philosophy and discussion of is going to be Justin Amash and Bumper. And I think... Bumper may scare off Justin. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. But for me, it's the educational part of this thing. It's just general public opinion. People go, well, we need to get vote totals. Do you believe the system? I don't care. You know, I just want an excuse to put up a sign. So it's all about the signs for me for the in the 2020 cycle.
Free ponies. That's a good sign.
Yeah, free ponies. Vernon Supreme. Everybody gets a free pony.
I think that's where I'm like leaning towards right now. It's like, you know, it's just such a joke that
he won't break character either, man. That guy, he'll keep his boot on.
He's a hoot to watch.
He knows what's up. So we're gonna have some fun. We'll get updated when we go to Pork Fest, and all the other stuff that we're doing this summer. They just had they're doing the Red Pill now. I think
they just had it. So Josh is. Josh was there covering Red Pill.
So this is G. Edward Griffin's thing. He had it in Spokane last year, I think it was, and now it was in Connecticut. And yeah. I know Josh was helping manage the, I don't know, speaker, doing something. He was working with him. How'd it go?
I haven't talked to him yet other than like some text messaging, but that's why he was in New York City, because he was making his way back down. Because to give you an idea of the, you know, the income situation, is he drove from Vegas to Connecticut. You know, and then he's, you know, sleeping on couches doing stuff like that. So, you know, you want to know what the shadow banning looks like. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, you guys are just, you know, commercial anarchists who are trying to make money off of this. I'm like, yeah, like trying to make money off of throwing, you know, anarchy conferences is, you know, definitely not the way to get super rich, at least.
I'll tell Donna, get G. Edward on, and we'll have him on. A lot of the guests and so on, they just, yeah, Richard Grove, you know, was back there. I wonder if he went, you know, and then I saw
he was a speaker.
Oh, very cool. Well, I saw Lisa, his wife, you know, sent me a text, said to see us at Pork Fest. you know, Porkfest. So they're going. You know, we got them finally to go, and then they got hooked, you know. So
I see it all as amazing progress. It used to be the libertarian conferences, and now it's at anarchist conferences. This is progress, baby.
Progress. Anarchy in the USA.
Well, yeah, we got Anarcho Vegas coming up.
Did they finally pick a place?
I don't know where it is, but I know it's I know they do have a place. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. But they've got that's I think it's July 21st-ish, right, for Freedom Fest. And then we've got then there's Anarchadelphia. So I'm not sure if I'm going to that one, but I'm going to Anarcho Vegas, so you guys can see us there.
Well, they were supposed to send me ads. I got, I was going back and forth. I'm negotiating for one of the end of September. We're going to do a vaccine education summit at the Crescent again. And we did this a few years ago, and now we're going to do it again, totally different environment.
And Del Bigtree was at Red Pill as well. So
yeah, I think he's coming. So Del Bigtree is going to be one of the speakers, and I think there might get RFK too, RFK Jr., and wow. Dr. Judy, of course, and Irene Pye and I, and some other stuff. But it's this vaccine thing is a going concern, and we started it right off the beginning. I go, all right, I know where this goes. And how'd you not know? I mean, you're sitting there killing little kids and taking over generations of customers to sell them pharmaceuticals. This is not going to go away. You get pissed off parents and grandparents.
Well, maybe the company Bayer might go bankrupt because of their purchase of Monsanto. I mean, how fitting would that be that you've got basically these two, you got the company responsible for like Agent Orange and responsible for aspartame and responsible for all this bad. And then you got they just bought them, so they're
no. They'll pick up. They'll pick up both of them in bankruptcy court of We Rule You. Larry Summers and Dick Cheney run that one too. I mean,
Then Bayer was like IG Farben with making the gas for the Nazis. And I was listening to, I've got like my new like favorite podcast that I just discovered recently. It's I don't know like how big the podcast is or whatever. It's called Tinfoil Hat. So it's sort of like they're trying to make so they call themselves the NWA of like the conspiracy world of like, you know what? What's the worst thing you can call a conspiracy theorist? Like, oh, tinfoil hat. So we're just going to call ourselves tinfoil hat. And the guy who puts it on is a comedian. Absolutely hilarious.
What's his name?
And
what's it called?
It's actually Sam Tripoli. And believe it or not, the guy who I started my page with one other guy, my Facebook page, and the guy I started my page with was named Jeff Tripoli. And it turns out it's his cousin. And I had no idea, but this guy, the show I've listened to, I probably have binged like 30 of them, and there was some on like where it showed how like all the elite institutions were started by all the big pharma companies, like the Russells out of were doing Yale, and like it was going lineage, and how the wars had to do with pharma, and a lot of the, and James Corbett has actually been a guest on there several times, so he'd be a great person. So maybe have James try to get you in touch with him and have him on the show.
Well, send me the information, and I'll get Don to get him on. We'll pimp it.
It is. I just like the layout of everything, like even like the intro music, it has like George Bush in it saying, like we'll have a one world. It's the whole presentation, everything is I just love it. So I just discovered this.
And it's Tinfoil Hat. What
is Tinfoil Hat podcaster. So if you go samtripoli.com, I think it's a website. It's on YouTube. They've been doing a lot of stuff on, how big pharma is taking over stuff. They had a really interesting one on how Courtney Love was really like MK Ultra and like, and gets into like who her dad was and all this other stuff. And then her dad even came out and outed her as like, and then it creates quite the compelling case that she was actually behind Kurt Cobain's death and all it. You just have to listen to like all these, all like the whole show. Like it's, I've been thoroughly entertained, and there's very few like podcasts where I'm just like, boom. I've just been like captivated by it. So
okay,
yeah.
Look at the screen. This guy.
Let me go to D Live so I can see it. Because I can't see it on. Because you have a different broadcast computer than.
Okay. Let me see. I put this up.
And there's a little bit of a delay on D Live, so I think once the delay goes, I should be able to see it.
Well, you're not seeing it now because I don't have it up. Okay, that one.
Well, there's a delay, so I can't see it.
Well, I'll just leave it up there a second. Anyways. But I'm sure this is it. Sam Tripoli, Tinfoil
hat
on.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. That's it. And yeah, I haven't listened to the recent one, but no, they've all been like really like the guy is hilarious. And like one of the, like even like the sponsored ads that he does, like the way that he reads them are so hilarious. Like one of his is he's got like a boat. Like one of them is like kind of like a Viagra, and like even like how he ties that into it. And he's got different like marijuana edibles and stuff is like sponsors. He's like, we can get you high and hard. It's like, I'm trying to find a way to get the marijuana infused into the boner pills. He's like, and these boners are made in America. It's like, it's the guy, but even like the way, like it is so funny. Like how he like interweaves like all this stuff in. Another one of his sponsors is, it's like kind of like this man bag, but it's called a nut sack. And so like NUTSAC. And I actually looked them up. They look like pretty like sweet. I'm like, oh man, I'd wear that. That looks pretty cool. But no, I just discovered it. And, like it's been like my definitely my new favorite podcast. So I have nothing to do with it. Like I'm not sure. Like, so I just I don't. I've just really enjoyed all the episodes of this.
Okay, so I'm looking at where is he? It's YouTube. So he's doing it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's at YouTube. So I haven't really watched too many of them. Most of them I've listened to on iTunes. Has been mainly how I've.
He has 162,000 views on that. How many subscribers? They don't even say subscribers anymore. I can't find.
Well, if you yeah,
yeah, subscribe 250,000 K. So he has enough there. They don't really give the exact numbers anymore.
He's got reach.
He's got 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, which for being a conspiracy podcast label. And then another thing is he always jokes around. Like he just says, like, instead of saying they, them, those, he's always like, these damn lizard people. So he always like, just even like, you know, just says what. So it's just like that he like just takes like the things that people would use against us. And then he kind of then embraces it. And it's been, that's actually not it. So you have, to, if you just go up to tinfoil hat on the search bar. Because he's also a comedian, so he has lots of different. So he has some different comedian specials, as well.
Well, I had this was a video that he had on his site. I guess that's how I was. Recent videos.
Ad. Yeah. So if you just
go maybe that was an ad. Okay.
Yeah. If you go in the search bar and just type in tinfoil hat.
No, I had it up here. Let me see.
Well, that's different. Hat.
Tinfoil hat, all things comedy. That's not him.
No. You're not. No. So you get off the all things comedy and then go into the search bar and just type in like tinfoil hat into the YouTube.
Well, here's one of his videos. I'm looking for his Sam Tripoli. Okay, that's probably it.
And then he's also from Syracuse, New York, as well, where I'm from, which that's crazy.
Okay, so I'll go Donna. Not that guy. This guy. All right.
Yeah. If you go to And the other thing is, James Corbett's been on his show at least twice that I've seen. So maybe Corbett can get you the intro.
Not the other site. This guy. Okay, I send that to Donna. We'll get that.
Yeah, he had Alex Jones on too. You know, somewhat recently, but he's not. I'd say very. Yeah, even if you play like I love like the intro that he has too. Like it's just awesome. So that's a comedy special, but yeah. So then he does have the tinfoil hat series. That's down below.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, I need to decide. I mean, I like doing LRN because you know support, you know the platform and they got because it is outside of the, you know we got pirate radio stations and other people doing it. I just like the idea of having this as a mechanism for them not being able to stop it, and I've been with them a decade or so. We've been doing this with LRN for a long time now. We have Liberty Talk Radio and we were on Republic and we got some other stuff that and people take the feed from, so we're on other stations and networks, but I like doing the early morning, get my ass up. But, we may need to do other projects. See, I anything on the internet, until they get this decentralized, they can't turn it off, throttle, whatever. I don't want to build anything on these platforms that are sand. I just not. Oh, yeah. So we start building our other and make and demonstrate other platforms and keep pimping about this decentralized thing. But when it happens, it'll be something like this. It'll be us or him or something, because Jordan Peterson went to library. Well, did that take off? And then PewDiePie went over to DLive or something. They start adding these others. At some point, one of those is going to be it. You know, I don't know which one, but it's going to hopefully be a decentralized, they can't screw with it thing. And when that happens, then we're going to be, you watch Ernie build some stuff. I'm going, oh yeah, we're going to have us some fun. And we'll start pumping the crap out of it. And hopefully by the 2020 campaign, where we can do it locally with signage and newspapers and QR codes and trash can flyers and all that, you know, and t-shirts and signs, all the activism stuff that we know, we will own Arizona. Because we have in the past. We already know how this works. So I'm just going, you want to inject? Here we go. Well, I've been kind of, you know, nah, it's not, you know, we're built. But we got tens of thousands of people that are just, I mean, and we keep purging and purging and, you know, going through and cutting off the dead weight and the sense. But what happens, all of our email dispatching and everything now shows up. Ah, are you sure you want to go here? It looks like spam to us, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm thinking that the future is going to change. It's not going to be the email the way you see it now. There will be some kind of addressing. It'll be a decentralized hash that you have that will be your ID of something. There's going to be something else. There has to be. So that means there's going to be. So that's what we're, you know, out prepping for. And we spent the last few years getting the back end done to be able to have all our data go into any decentralized platform, which is what we did for Corbett with IPFS. But it could go to anything else once we got all that data. So we're working on it. Now, there's a lot of things. And I'm glad Tim's there, you know, navigating all this, at least with the right attitude. But, you know, all the investment that you guys are doing on YouTube and all this kind of stuff, do you feel, I don't know, wasted effort, or you're making use of it while you can? What are you thinking?
I'm not really making any investment onto YouTube, and so I'm just making use of it while I can. I know it's not going to be there forever. I sure as hell probably think that by 2020, it's going to be completely throttled because, you know, if you're not towing the CNN line, they don't want your message up there reaching people. So I'm basically just saying, hey, we're over here. Because I want you to give us, you know, different contact information to tell you where the over there is eventually when there is a good enough over there. So I don't want the phone numbers and emails to be the end all be all. I want it to tell people where eventually we're over here, or where the over there is, because it's probably gonna be fragmented. Whereas, you know, the over there for my grandma, not necessarily the over there for, you know, where we want to reach people. And I even saw Jeff Berwick yesterday post a video about Facebook's global coin where he said, you know, he's ashamed to say that, you know, that they still have such a big Facebook presence and that they are looking at, you know, trying to eventually, you know, wean themselves off of there. But right now there's a lot of their subscribers and customers are on Facebook. And so there still is a demand to be there, but I'm trying to be the example. So that way I'm posting my stuff first to BitChute. I'm also to my podcast channel. Then I'm releasing it onto YouTube. YouTube channel has ads. So if you're like, oh, why I hate all these ads? I'm like, well, then go on to BitChute then. There's no ads in BitChute. Go so get subscribed. And I'd love to get hooked up with IPFS because I've got, you know, probably an extra like 5 terabytes that I'm not using right now. And then what I would like to ultimately do is direct people to my webpage, have the webpage be IPFS as the example. And then that way when I'm on, and, you know, wham, I could say, hey, go to the webpage and we're on IPFS, and then yeah. It gets people knowing what it is. And so, you know, I'll be your guy's pimp if you, you know, get me.
We're,
you know,
working on it.
I don't have a lot. I only have like 110 videos, and I can have my girl from Nigeria do all the uploading because I'm small enough where it could be probably manually uploaded. So I don't have thousands of videos. Like Wham has, I think, like 1,100, 1,200 videos.
Which damn.
Would be a thing to
do. That was one thing. Thomas Friedman was staying here last week, and he is doing the script, you know, for pulling down the YouTubes to transfer them over to IPFS. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff needs to be, and we're looking for a lot more help. And one of the big reasons why I'm going to ForkFest and PorkFest, and I just got an email from Carla Garrick at PorkFest, wants to make sure we bring the radio show in the morning there and do, because that's in the media room and we have a good time with that. So we're working that out. And then there's a lot of coders and stuff there that started working on some stuff last year. And so we've done enough development and examples that we can, you know, really say, hey, man, let's, you know, here we go. Let's go kick ass. But this morning, IPFS is not as fast as it was like just yesterday. You know, so this is content deadline exceeded. It didn't pull it. So it's not always working as smoothly as some days. It is available. It does come up eventually. It's slow. Sometimes it's faster than others. And I just want to know under why. I mean, is it? And what we have found out is that you just need more nodes. So we're going, all right. So we're developing and creating and finishing that up. And I like to use these Raspberry Pis, but you can use old laptops.
How do I become a node and help out if I'm like, hey, I've got
pull this up. Do this. Go to site, S-I-T-E, pins, P-I-N-S, .net. Sitepins.net. And this is the building of what you need to do. But we're trying to do this as a grandma just button so that you don't have to do all this crap. But this is for the developers. If you go to sitepins.net, you have all of the data there, and it says guides. You click on guides and then install let the audience see. You go like this. You go guides. This is sitepins.net. Guides. Install IPFS, and it has all the instructions on how to do this and be a node. But you know,
this is way too geek for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly. Is this like a grandma just button to you? So we've been, you know, going through this. I've been learning it, and I'm going, can you make this a button thing, or even better yet, can we have a full stack file that we just put onto our computer and start copying on the hard drives, plug it into the Raspberry, and all you have to do is plug it into power and the Ethernet, and you're done. That's what we're working on. And this is, take a look at this, dude. Bob made this. This is the box, the lid of the box that has the Raspberry Pis and the SATA drive and all that kind of stuff. So it's a pirate box. We're going to,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, check this out. Okay. Take a look at that. And it glows in the dark. You know, it's a 3D. So we're just playing with this, trying to see how we can build a box and make it cool with ports on it and all that kind of stuff. So this is just a sample thing, you know, and then we'll put vents in the eyes and whatever for the air. And that's one reason why I want to do a solid state drive, because then you don't need all the cooling fans and everything as much. So it's just, we're working on it. I mean, you know, what I need is some of your Fiverr people, all right, we need a stack of dudes. So that's what I'm going to detail out while we're sitting around the campfire at Forkfest and Porkfest is, okay, what do we need to do, and exactly who kind of what, and, you know, and the help for Derek. And then we got a Fiverr from Pakistan to, you know, help. I mean, whatever. So that's what I just need to be able to define. And one of the things is, and I go, if you can define the prize, you know, if I come up $1,000, $3,000, $5,000 prizes, you know, for you do this stack of this thing, we got some cash money. As you go through to the past guy, you win. Boom, here's the money. You know, then all of a sudden, everybody and their geeky friend come up. Even your lefty-leaning Louis might want to get some of the money, but then they do a backdoor.
We don't want your dirty Federal Reserve notes. We want your...
Well, I'm worried about they would plan in a backdoor of kind of... See, you got to go slow with people you trust, or you're just begging for trouble. And I just... You know, but it's time's a ticket, man. We got it by the end of the summer. We got to get rocking, because after Labor Day is when the campaign really starts going for 2020. Mm-hmm. You know,
you're ready. Here it comes.
Would you like? Well, anyways,
I gotta check out to get some work done over here. But it was nice talking with you guys, two OGs in the movement, and have fun at Porkfest. I already put up all the trial balloons for next year. Tell my wife like I'm gonna be there next year. So we've got that trial balloon already nice and lifted off, but it was just too much coming back from Florida and heading right
to
back
do
out
what
there.
To do what I missed it
to go to Porkfest next year.
Oh,
I put the trial balloons up.
Bob might stop by. He's up there, you know, a couple hundred miles away doing his family house back in the Boston area, and he's right next to the New Hampshire border, so he'll probably go up. It's not even that far. But we ever going to get you to Porkfest? Are we?
Not this year, you ain't.
Yeah, you need to go just to, you know, witness what happens when a bunch of libertarians are like camping. It's awesome. Well, jackalope, same, you know, kind of thing. He goes to that. Hey, thanks a lot, Tim. The LibertyAdvisor.com. Peace, guys.
Peace.